silent your mind. I need to go to the washroom. Okay, we can start our puja now. Can we have two? Can you minta to have light the candle and the incense? Tonight, who is new? Ah, the two of them. Seldom see you. You have to light the candle. Pamasuri, show them the lighter. Ah, yeah. Just in time, huh? Oh, good. Yeah, come. Yes, I do. Yeah, 进去，哪里都可以坐啊。Anyway, then we can get ready for puja. Just stand up, then form the usual line. Then we rejoice with the offering. Compose your mind. Develop the calm mind. When you have faith, your mind will be very calm, very peaceful. Okay, start off with the three. Sadhu, 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 never mind, it's okay. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can be seated. Then we will start our puja. Sadhu, for those who are new, is a Pali word meaning we rejoice. We rejoice with the wholesomeness of what people has done, their generosity by making the offering, their sincerity, their faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, and also their goodness and wholesomeness. So when we rejoice, this mind state is very beautiful. It also constitutes a meritorious action. That's why rejoicing can open up your heart and make you feel good and develop the merits. So that's why puja is very useful. Then now we develop the other spiritual faculty like faith in the Buddha and his teaching, followed by the triple gem. Then we invoke the chanting and all those things. So we'll start off by making homage to the Buddha. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. then we pay respect. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book that is in front of you. Then we will commence the chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu michachara viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena matena ca hotu mokhang Upang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bawang adivase tunobante anipang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya atigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will do the puja. aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide. Fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then sharing of merits and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will now pay respect. Triple gem. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Today, I think there are two new people who are first time here. Three. Oh, the boy also. So, boy, you know how to meditate? Oh, you don't know. How old are you? 10. Oh, standard 4. Oh, very good. So, you like to go to school? Oh, did you go to Sunday school? No. Oh, you only go to government school. Oh, very good. Oh, not bad. So, tonight, yeah, we will teach you how to meditate. You want to learn how to meditate? Do you understand what is meditation? Huh? Your smile is very good. Good news. Huh? At least you can sit here for quite a while. Most children of your age, huh, they like to play. They like to run around. Oh, but you're not well. Huh? This one, your niece or your chiche? Chiche? Mother is this one. Oh, that one now. Oh. Oh, I thought I recognized the wrong one. Oh, this auntie. Oh, wow. So now I know. Huh? Oh, but she's so young. Oh, she looks like your chiche. Oh. She looks like my daughter, actually. Last time I showed your mommy my daughter's photo. And she said, yeah. So, you must be very blessed, have such a good mother, good parent. So you love your mother or not? Wow, sadhu, sadhu, very good, very good. These are the type of karmic relationship from the past, very good. Otherwise, the toilet don't go right there. And to get a 10-year-old kid to sit here and learn meditation, that's not a joke. You can understand English, huh? Right. Oh, very good. No need Bahasa Malaysia. Bahasa Malaysia, uncle, still cannot. Okay, so let us go straight into the meditation. I will teach you a type of meditation that will benefit you when you go to school. Boy. It will make you calm, peaceful. Then you will have clarity of mind. Then you can study very well. Then you can top the class. You will do very well. Make your mother proud of you. And after that, you will get special prizes for your good work, for your hard work. Then when you study well, good result, you will be rewarded. Reward. You know what is a reward or not? Oh, you know. Very good. So have you been rewarded before? Good. So you will continue to receive all this good reward when you do well. So try your best. Don't be under pressure. As long as you try your best, it's okay. Even you don't do well, you don't do that well because other people are better than you. Then you determine. Now next time, you will do better than them. So life is always a learning process. Last time, Uncle Tio was the same. I was last in the class, standard one. Standard two, second last in the class. But I got one subject, I score 100 marks. And they have to give me the book prize in standard two. The teacher also very confused. He told the headmaster, he said, what must I do to this student? The headmaster asked, why? He's second last in the class. All the other subjects, zero. But arithmetic, he get 100 marks. Then the headmaster, very wise, also asked the teacher, anybody else get 100 marks? The teacher said, no. Means he didn't copy lah. Give it to him. So that was a very good one. So likewise, you can learn. Then as I develop the understanding of the language, I start to do well. Then when I do better, I get upgraded. I was in, I think, standard two because I was the second last. I was in the last class. Then standard three, when I start to understand the language, I suddenly get promoted to the A class. Then standard four, I went to the special class where they jump 1 year, but I cannot jump because my result was good because I take the full 4 years to be there. So I joined the special class. Then every time I go, people will be better than me in the class. But somehow, end of the year, I will go to the top again. Then I go to secondary school, same. Go to uni, also same. That's how you improve yourself, through understanding, through learning to study, do well. Not to compete, no point. Why you want to compete? If they are good, you rejoice. You also study, then you become good. You also be honored and rewarded. Okay, now we're off the line. Then we will teach you some meditation. So I will give some instruction, mainly for the boy. Then we can actually proceed. For those who already know how to meditate, you continue. So if you need to train your mind, you train. If you need to decondition your heedless thinking, mind sweeping method, combined metta, you do. Then for the boy and those who are new, I will teach you a very simple technique to make yourself peaceful. To learn how to meditate is very simple, especially the boy. You just relax, no need to think of anything. Make yourself comfortable, relax. Then maintain a stable posture. Means you make sure you can sit well. You are crossing your leg, which is very good, but relax into it. After a while, the posture will be like very easy for you because you are still young. You are still very flexible in all of your muscles and your movements. So just relax, make sure your backbone is straight. Then close your eye, close your eye. Then silence everything. If there is any thought that comes, the thinking, if it starts to develop the thought process, never mind. Just let it be. Let the thought arise. But you maintain awareness. Just be aware of what type of thought that arise. Just allow your mind to be with it. Silence everything and just be aware. After a while, you realize this thought will slow down because you don't give it any more thought energy. You just want to be peaceful, silent, aware, relaxed. Then you condition yourself, relax, relax, silent, peaceful, aware. Then maintain the attentiveness inside to observe whatever movement that goes on within your body and mind, just aware, understand them. No need to follow. No need to allow the thought to continue to labor or do anything. Just allow it to arise and pass away. Then after that, you maintain awareness, means attentiveness at your forehead. You feel your forehead. Feel, just feel. Don't think, just feel. If there's any tightness, any stress within, or any tension, you just feel it soothingly, relax, relax, and relax, relax every part of it. Then you can sweep this mind down to your eye muscle, feel again, relax, and relax into it. Feel your eye muscle soothingly, relax. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle. Feel every strand of it. Relax, relax, and relax. Feel it suddenly. Relax. Then you can read it a radiant smile. Visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. When you can smile, you are happy. There is a lot of joy. Then naturally, your mind is very relaxed, very peaceful. Then after that, you recite following me. You radiate this so-called loving kindness. Radiate kind love and words to your own self. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness in you, like when you do very well in the school. Or you did something right when your mother praised you. Feel the joy, the happiness. Then may I, this body and mind of mine, be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel it. Feel your mind free, no suffering, happy. Feel your body free, no suffering. Because you are still young, you are still healthy. You got good body. So feel it. Then you continue. May this body and mind of mine too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy always, peaceful always. Means no unhappy thought, no angry thought, no envy, jealousy and other things. Just happiness, joy. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger, means you are always peaceful. Nothing can harm you. You will be free from all harm and danger. You will be protected by your parents. You will be blessed. Then you continue to read it. May this mind of mine too be free of all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then feel yourself having this inner peace, inner well-being. Then you continue to radiate this metta to your loved one. May my mom, my dad, my brothers and sisters, or my auntie, all my loved ones, may they all to be well and happy, free from all harm and danger, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they always keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts and their hearts. Then you continue to radiate this metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, together with all the Dhamma friends, Kayanamitas, co-meditator, cultivator who are here, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. Be without suffering, free from all physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. Be their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can extend this love and metta to all beings. May all beings within the whole of Subang Jaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, our Mother Earth, our planet, and the whole of the beings in the solar system, extending towards the galaxy, the Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe or existence, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful. Well, happy and peaceful. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May they all too be free from physical and mental harm. Free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May there be love. May there be peace and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, just feel, don't think, feel. Feel it soothingly, relaxed, peaceful and silent everything. Then you sweep your mind down slowly with awareness to feel your neck, just feel, don't think, feel. Relax, feel your shoulder, relax, back to your shoulder, then your hand, feel, relax, and you go back to your shoulder. From your shoulder, you feel relaxed, then you move it down to your heart or chest area. This is a very important location within your body. Your heart is the seat of consciousness. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where your seat of consciousness is located. This is also the source of your life force, karmic force that arises and passes away. So you silence everything and feel, like you feel your facial muscle or your forehead. Just feel silent, no thought. Feel. If you can feel any vibration or your heartbeat, you just stay there, silent everything. And let the vibration slow down on its own. As long as you are silent without thought, it will slow down. But if you are new, you cannot locate it, you are not sensitive enough, not mindful enough, it's okay. You just feel, like you feel your forehead or your facial muscles, just feel. And relax every part of it. Then you move it down further to your stomach. Feel, relax. Abdomen, again, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Then your leg, feel, relax. feel them all soothingly relax. Then you reverse this mind sweeping method, which is a very useful technique to decondition your heedless thinking so that you can become calm and peaceful. Then the metta bring about inner well-being. Yeah. So now again you feel like relax, buttock, relax. Then you move your attention to your abdomen, feel, relax. Then your stomach, feel, relax. Then move to your heart or chest area, again silence everything and feel. Relax. You can detect your heartbeat or any vibration. Stay there for as long as you can. Otherwise you continue to move up. Feel your shoulder, relax, hand, relax, back to shoulder, relax, then your neck, relax, feel, relax, facial muscle, do the same, sweep it up, feel every part of it, every strand of it, relax into it, then the eye muscle, feel, relax, forehead, feel, relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you can anchor this peacefulness or silent mind awareness using a skillful means or object of meditation, which we call anapanasati or mindfulness of in and out breath. You develop the mindfulness of your breathing. Like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. Maintain attention in front of your nostril. Just breathe in, breathe out normally. Then, like the Buddha's advice, breathing in, the breath and the awareness of the mind become one without thought. Breathing out, again, the mind and the breath become one without thought. So this is anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, just aware, silent, no thought. Initially, if you are new, not easy. When you try to be mindful of your breathing, split second, it wanders off. Never mind. Be patient. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Maintain attention at your breathing again. If you are patient enough, after a while, this anapanasati will stabilize. Yeah. So you just silence everything and just feel the breathing. Then be with it. Mind and the breath move as one. Just aware. No need to know. Yeah. Okay, I'll allow you to do this training. Then after a while, when you can do it, you will become very calm, very peaceful. This is the meditative state of the silent mind, peacefulness of mind, a relaxed state of inner awareness, inner peace, inner well-being. These are beautiful mind state, conducive for meditation, conducive for you to develop your study. So I will ring the bell after about 15 minutes. Yeah. Okay. Okay. For those still want to meditate, you can continue. For those have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. The mind that is trained is beautiful. It will listen to you. You want it to be peaceful, silent, you will just do that. So meditation is a very good way to train your mind to be peaceful, to be calm, and to be aware, alert within. And when you can develop this mind state in your daily life, you can live life and meditate while you are going through life. So the real meditation, which is the highest in life, is the daily mindfulness. When you can be in this state of meditative state throughout the day. Yeah. Throughout the day in the meditative state, to live your life, to do your things. We call it the daily mindfulness, or sati sampajana. Oh boy, got question. Ken, after that can ask. But before we go to the meditation question and report, we got to chant one more thing. We will do the invocation to the Deva. Okay, turn to page 6. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching or the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atragacantu devata saddhamman muni rajasa sunantu sakamokadang dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Iti piso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja charana sampanno sugato anuto lokaidu anutoro burisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pachatang ditatbo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakasango samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango yadidang chattari risayukani ata purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango huneyo pahuneyo Dakiniyo Anjali Karaniyo Anutarang Punyakitang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Butang Puja me. Damang Puja me. Sanghang Puja me. Okay. Just relax yourself, yeah? Maintain some form of attention, attentiveness, yeah? Then we will proceed with our second session. Second session is more on meditation reporting, yeah? You can put up your hand if you want to report your meditation, then ask whatever question related to meditation or the teaching or anything that you want to understand based on your cultivation. Mm. Okay, now we open it all. Anybody? Just raise your hand. Yeah? We will pass you the mic. Oh, the mic is there. Boy, you got any question? Oh, I don't have. How was the meditation? Like that means what? Very good. Are you peaceful? Wow, very good. Peaceful. Because you got no problem. You got good life. Your mom very good. Love you. Not bad. You can cross your leg until now. Good boy. Anything you want to ask? No. Oh, everything understood. Wow, very good. Anyway, since today there are some who are new, maybe I will read to you my seminar paper. So yeah, get me the book, the seminar paper book. The up there, is it? Ghana. The thin floor. Brown color. Good. Thanks. This will be good for those who are new. Who don't have much understanding of what the Buddhist teaching is all about. So this is based on a seminar paper that I delivered in the year 2013, about 3 years ago, coming to 3 years. October 2013. The title of the talk is Success in Life Via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way. For those who are new, Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. And basically, it means truth. That's why the essence of his teaching is called the Four Noble Truths. And when we take refuge with the Triple Gem, the Buddha, you know, is the fully enlightened one, Sammasambuddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, 2,000 over years ago when he arrived. Then the second gem is the Dhamma. Dhamma is his teaching. And his teaching is about truth. That's why all of religion in the world, they try to monopolize truth. They say their teaching is the only teaching, their only religion that holds the truth. So when you have the truth, means you understand the teaching and the life. Because when the teaching, which is the truth, that can help you to understand the way things are, means whatever that can explain the reality is the truth. And what are the things in this universe that can explain the way things are, the reality? What are they? Nature's truth is there. And what is this nature's truth? They follow nature's law. Understand? That's why Buddha Dhamma is about understanding nature's law that governs life and existence. These are true. And this truth cannot be monopolized by anybody. Truth is. You know the meaning or not? Truth is. Means that is the reality. That truth can explain the way things are. It points towards the reality. That's why it's called the truth. And truth cannot be monopolized, but it's in the midst of life and nature, nature's law. So it's not about your truth or my truth, or whichever religion's truth that they proclaim to hold. These are all relative truth, truth according to what I understand, what you understand. But if it's the truth, truth is, because that is the reality. And that one, no argument on. You cannot argue against truth. Truth is truth. Yeah. It is something that can explain the way things are. So you look at the whiteboard in the early days. I did write here. Truth is. So now you understand this word. The isness of thing. Means this is the reality. This is truth itself. Truth is just truth. It is something that is already within nature. That's why we have mighty nature. Then we have laws that govern nature. That's why these are nature's law. And this one is the one that explains the working of all things, or all phenomena in this world, this universe. That's why we call them nature's truth. So truth is Dhamma. So Dhamma can also be translated as truth. So when you have the Dhamma, you understand truth. You understand clearly the laws that governs life and existence. And this is wisdom. The moment you have this understanding, when you understand the laws that governs life and existence, means you understand the Dhamma. Because Dhamma is based on nature's law, truth. That's it. Nature's truth. That's why the essence of the Buddha's teaching is called the Four Noble Truths. And within the Four Noble Truths, we have the Noble Eightfold Path. So teachings of the Buddha is called the Dhamma. And Dhamma is truth. That's why the essence of his teaching is called the Four Noble Truths. Then this teaching, which is the truth, but they are spoken by the Buddha as words. You understand? Words. The word is never the truth. Understand? Yeah? Like the word beauty is not that meaning, beauty. Understand? Like that car, you call it a car. That car is not the word, C-A-R. Understand? The car is that thing, no name on. Malay, or the national language, they call it kereta. The Chinese language, Mandarin, they call it ce. Then your dialect, you call it by different words. So words can be interpreted, can vary. But the word is the word. It is not that thing. That's why when you cultivate the teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, you don't cling on to words. You don't hold on to words and concept and ideology. These are what the thought create. You have to develop the understanding of truth, truth itself. So that's why the Buddha say his teaching is like a raft to take you across the ocean of samsara, birth and death. So in this ocean of samsara, you have to go through the reality of life and existence. You have to experience the reality. Then when you experience them or confront them without wisdom, you will have suffering. You will have misery. That's how the ocean of samsara, or they call it the suffering world, kuhai, full of suffering. In Mandarin, it's called heng kua. Hao kua. Jinja kua in Hokkien, the clan people. So if you don't have the good karma, the good life, you will have to confront all this reality without wisdom, through delusion, through heedlessness, and you will suffer, you will become miserable. And the only way to liberate from this ocean of birth and death, or samsara, is to realize the unconditioned, which is nibbana, the state of enlightenment that the Buddha talked about, means to realize this truth. That's why the realization of this teaching or the truth will lead you to the realization of nibbana, which is the unconditioned, which will transcend the conditioned world. The existential world, or the samsaric world, they are within the conditioned world. That's why they have birth and death. They have suffering. They have all the conditioned world, condition and situation. So the only way to free is to develop the enlightenment through the realization of this truth. And to realize this truth, you must understand it is not the word. It is the true understanding of the teaching. Means you realize this understanding and awaken to it, the Four Noble Truths. When you understand the essence of the Buddha's teaching, you understand life. Because this Four Noble Truths summarize to us all of the understanding of life, both mundane and the supramundane. Okay? Can follow, eh? So far. And then I will go into this seminar paper. Then it's easier for you to understand. Otherwise, it's a bit difficult. Yeah? So I will read to you quickly the introduction. Okay. This international seminar on life management with meditation, experiences and success, data 10-12 August 2013, held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, and the Pipa Livarana Mindfulness Center. Ambrotio was invited to present a paper at the said seminar as a Malaysian speaker representing the lay people. Basing on some very good feedback and suggestion from seminar participants and Dhamma friends of Kayamita who had attended and who had the condition to listen to his seminar speech and or receive his above seminar paper, international seminar papers, reprinted notes, Bratio had finally agreed to allow this international seminar paper to be reprinted in a booklet form of free distribution to all those who are interested and has the affinity to receive it. It is Bratio's sincere hope and intention that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, cultivators, free thinkers, and devotees will be able to make use of this Dhamma presentation in this seminar paper, international seminar paper of his, to develop a better understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble, and wiser human being that can be a blessing to all. So that was the short introduction. And this book is printed for free distribution because of your Kayamita fund. We have our Kayamita fund, who is the only fund that can contribute towards the printing of all the Dhamma material or sharing that I have actually shared with you all. Then some of these are in the form of transcript from my talk. But this particular one was because I was invited to deliver a paper. So I wrote it out. And if I can recall, if you may also recall, I used to tell you, I cannot write. I actually didn't really write. What I did was, I reflected and I contemplated. Then every time I go and do my exercise, when I was walking, twice a week or one, I would go for my walk. Then whenever I have my free time, in my moments of silence, I will also reflect, contemplate, and at home, I will walk. Then the understanding just come, because I had this very sincere feeling that this paper should be something that is very useful to humanity, to help people understand the power and beauty of the Buddha Dhamma. And because it is something that is so useful to humanity, we need to really present it in a simple, easy to understand manner. So that's how this paper come about. After I contemplate, I reflect, then I try my whatever best to write it down. So it was all bits and pieces everywhere. Every time I contemplate, something went in. Every time I contemplate, something went in. Then end of the day, I piece them all together. Then I start to write. Otherwise, I cannot write. So it's like a sketchy type of transcript, born of my contemplative understanding. And this one is not really a transcript because I didn't really speak. But because I reflected and contemplated, and whenever this understanding comes, I will just write it down. And it is just short sentences here and there. Then finally, when it is ready to be compiled into a paper, then I realize, it end up well. That's how you have this seminar paper. You ask me to purposely write, I cannot write. Okay, now I will read to you. Opening statement and introduction to the topic. Success in life via meditation following the Dhamma way by a Malaysian speaker. Dear Mr. President, distinguished guests, fellow honorable panel speakers, seminar participants, ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to all, because this was delivered in the afternoon. It is indeed an honor to be given the opportunity to share my humble little experience on success in life management via meditation with all of you on such an appropriate occasion such as today's international seminar. Today's seminar topic is experiences and success in life management via benefits of meditation following the Dhamma way. And this is a very important topic for us all to understand if we want to realize our highest human potential. Such a seminar can be of great benefits for us all to develop the understanding of life so that we can all cope with the great intricacies and challenges of life that are much needed nowadays. Especially so in our modern society, our today's modern society, where everything is moving at such a fast pace and life can be very stressful, hectic, demanding, and at times highly competitive and provocative and seemingly harsh too. Human suffering are very real and is happening almost everywhere, even in the midst of life and society. It is even happening to our youngsters nowadays. Then I move on to the next topic. Understanding life, its meaning and purpose following the Dhamma way. To be successful in life management, we need to understand what life is. Otherwise, we do not know how to live life. True or not? You don't understand what is life, how do you live? As Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate and blessed because of the great wisdom and enlightenment of Lord Buddha. The Buddha is so unique and wise because he was able to summarize for us all the understanding of life, both the mundane and the supramundane aspect, into just four noble truths, which became the essence of his great teaching. They are called noble truth or Aryan truth because these are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones if you can understand them. Noble ones are enlightened ones because they are very noble in all aspects of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of life, for they have right views with regards to the laws that governs all of life and existence. They are also very noble in the way they conduct themselves via their right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. They are incapable of negativity. That's why they are called enlightened beings. These Four Noble Truths are so special and unique because understanding them can make such a big difference to our life. It's just like we had finally understood the secret of life. And because of that, we will know how to truly live the noble life of great peace, great love, joy, and happiness very, very meaningfully. The Buddha realized that there are certain harsh reality in life that can make living being really miserable, especially the realities of birth and death, leading to the whole mess of suffering. He called this the First Noble Truth of suffering or dukkha. That explains to us the prevalence of suffering in this world caused by the eight realities of life and existence that all beings, if they live long enough, will have to confront while going through life, irrespective of your status and materialistic success in life, your wealth. One will still suffer if one does not develop the requisite spiritual understanding before confronting them. These eight types of First Noble Truth realities are called birth, old age, sickness, and death. And they will bring about suffering when you confront them without understanding. Then the fifth one is separation from loved ones and one's possession, like your wealth, your property, things that you hold on to dearly, etc., also lead to suffering when you don't understand. Then the sixth one is to be with people whom you don't like, also bring about suffering. Not able to get what one desire, or when things don't go our way, or when our expectations in life are not met, can also bring about suffering. And finally, the Buddha said in short, the five aggregates of grasping, born of self-delusion or sakkayadity is dukkha. This is the greatest cause of suffering. Self-delusion, that condition, craving, grasping, clinging. When one confronts this reality without this requisite wisdom, then one will be afflicted and suffering, like sorrow, lamentation, and grief. Fear, worry, and anxiety, etc., leading to depression, will be the end result. In our modern society, maybe we use different terminology. We call them problems of life, so that the younger generation can relate to them, like health problem. Yeah. So instead of disease, you mention health problem, they can relate better. Then you tell them, cancer, heart attack, HIV, stroke, kidney failure, etc. Sudden death due to accident, traumatic disease, and nature's disaster like tsunami, earthquake, flood, building collapse, earthquake, etc. Career-related stress and sexual harassment problem when you are with people whom you don't like. Financial problem when you cannot get what you want. Relationship problem leading to divorce, forced separation, etc. Social and crime-related problem when you are with people whom you don't like, etc. The younger generation can relate to this terminology better. Then according to the Buddha, there is this second noble truth that explains to us clearly the cause behind all this suffering. The Buddha said, namely is craving born of our self-delusion. Again, self-delusion, sakkayadity. When we deludedly believe this is what we are, the human being, the form and the mind, the so-called you. So the Buddha clearly explained that the cause of all suffering is due to craving, born of self-delusion. When we had understood what suffering is and the cause behind their arising, we will know how to retrospectively manage our life better. But the Buddha did not stop there, for he then proceeded to tell us that suffering need not be, because there is a third noble truth that confirms the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, leading to the end of all suffering. And this is the most reassuring. Means before you die, you can realize this enlightenment. No need to believe. Only after death, they promise you eternal heaven. What happened after that? It didn't manifest. You end up somewhere else. This one is no need to wait till death. So the Buddha said, enlightenment in the here and the now, possible. So suffering need not be. So this is the most reassuring. The Buddha not only tell us that enlightenment is possible, but he even explained to us clearly how it can be realized via the fourth noble truth. He said there is a path, namely the noble eightfold path. If cultivated correctly, appropriately, will lead to the end of all suffering or cessation of all suffering, which is the ultimate aim of all Buddhist cultivation. This means this noble eightfold path is the meditation and the solution to all of our life's problems. That's why noble eightfold path is very powerful. So there is a way to free and liberate our mind from all suffering. This is what most of us will be very interested in. True or not? Yeah? True or not? You're interested in it? So now we go deep into it, so that you understand. Because this seminar paper is very good. With this Dhamma understanding, we need not have to worry about life anymore. We can just live life to the fullest via wisdom born of this Dhamma cultivation and the meditation as taught by our Lord Buddha. We can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment via a serene mind in heedfulness. See? So beautiful. Yeah? What are you waiting for? Then I continue. I say, I was indeed very blessed and lucky because this Buddhist meditation with its great benefits had helped me so much, not only in my study, but later on in my career and daily life too. The benefits of this style of meditation are many. The first obvious benefit is inner peace leading to inner well-being of body and mind. Nowadays, peace is very difficult to come by for most people, unless they know how to train their mind. In time of suffering, like confronting fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, etc., born of health and or any other life-related problem, this meditative inner peace leading to inner well-being can really help to provide immediate temporary relief to their mental agony and suffering. Because this inner peace leading to the inner well-being is a very positive, soothing and calming energy that can help stabilize the mind, their mind, and boost their immune system. As opposed to the rather negative energy of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and sadness. The question that is frequently asked is why are most human beings or living beings not peaceful most of the time? Why are they not able to meditate to develop the meditative mind of inner peace leading to inner well-being? According to the Buddha, it is because of the five mental hindrances of mind, pancha nivaranas, namely sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind and doubt. To overcome them, the Buddha said, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty or pancha indriyas, of Sada, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, we are understanding how special he is and how wonderful his teaching is. Then Virya, the spiritual zeal or tenacity to follow his teaching. Then Sati, or mindfulness, or awareness. Then Samadhi, the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind, leading to wisdom, Panya, born of direct seeing. So So this one is very important. This is how we start our meditation. We are cultivating the five spiritual faculty to prepare our mind to receive His great spiritual teaching. Because without the spiritual faculty, you cannot understand His spiritual teaching. That's why spiritual faculty are very important. That's why He teaches how to do puja, how to develop contemplation, Buddha Nusati, Dhamma Nusati, and Sangha Nusati. And develop the faith through all the chanting, recitation, through taking refuge, renewing our precepts, understanding His teaching. Also, the Buddha's exhortation before His parinibbana to all His disciples to strive on with heedfulness, apamadena sampadeta, and do not be heedless. This is then followed by Dhammapada verse 21 that states, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, whereas the heedless are as if dead. Which also stresses on the importance of training the mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to be ever mindful and to be constantly meditative, following Dhammapada verse 23. That is precisely the reason why Buddhist meditation is also termed mindfulness or heedfulness meditation, referring to the four foundations of mindfulness, namely kayanupassana, vedanupassana, cittanupassana, and dhammanupassana in particular. First, we must train the mind to be silent with inner awareness so that it can be mindful from moment to moment in daily life, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path leading to the heedfulness needed to understand life. This mindfulness and heedfulness will allow you to see clearly how your five aggregate of form and mind arise in you, how thoughts and feelings arise in you with every moment or sense experience or sense or consciousness, and how they condition each other. That is how your thought condition your feeling, then feeling condition your emotion or craving due to your wrong view, wrong thought, to grasp and cling onto the external phenomenal world created by your aggregates of mind. This is heedless living, leading to all the suffering following Dhammapada verse 1. Whereas the heedful, silent mind with inner awareness will bring about inner peace and inner well-being of body and mind, as opposed to a heedless mind that is full of thought, fear, worry, anxiety, conditioned by the hindrance of mind, leading to the agitated and restless mind that is never peaceful. With this inner awareness, inner peace and inner well-being, there is clarity of mind that can enable us to see things as they are, leading to penetrative insight and wisdom needed for us to truly understand life. This meditative wisdom can also lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now, thereby enabling us to live the noble life that is free of all mental suffering and misery. Once the mind is liberated and no longer deluded, then lives take a turn and becomes not only very meaningful, but also very wonderful and beautiful indeed. One can then experience all of the beauties and wonders of life from moment to moment with full clarity of mind to truly live life to the fullest. This is heedful living following Dhammapada verse 2, as opposed to heedless living that leads to all the suffering and misery in life following Dhammapada verse 1. Suffering are all mind-make, according to the Buddha. If mind does not deludedly cling or grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind as the me and the I and the mind, then there will be no more suffering. See, the teaching is so simple, isn't it? And it's not difficult. Then clarity of mind can also allow us to make better decisions in life, thereby enabling us to resolve issues or problems wisely and amicably. One can also concentrate and study better and have good and easy sleep. No more problem with insomnia and sleep-related issues. It can also allow us to plan and do our work more efficiently, thereby helping us in our career life. With all these benefits, we can really be a blessing to all. Our daily life will be very different, because the mind is always heedful and peaceful. This will bring us to the understanding of another very important aspect of living life. Importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness. And this is what you all try to develop in the meditation in your daily life. So this seminar paper, I explain them very clearly. You listen. As we all understand, life can be correlated to existence. To live life is to go through existence, and existence is time-related. The whole spectrum of time can be defined and divided into the three periods of past, present, and future. Of these three, we should inquire deep into them and find out for ourselves which is the reality. Which is the reality? Which is the reality? Louder. Present moment, obviously, isn't it? Because the past is already gone, so no more reality. Similarly, the future has yet to come. So it's also not a reality. Hence, only the present moment, which is the highest in life, is the only reality within life and existence. This is also the reason why people nowadays emphasize a lot on the power of now. Even Eckhart Tolle wrote a book about it, and it has become a bestseller for many years. Therefore, the most important question about life that we all should inquire deeply is, moment to moment life passes by, and this is the only reality in life. What are you doing within each and every one of these moments? What are you doing? You say you meditate. You contemplate. Did you meditate on this? Did you contemplate on this? Have you understood this? If you have not understood this, how are you going to live life? How are you going to understand life? That's why this aspect of present moment awareness is so important. And people just talk about it because it's the word. Like I said, the word is not the thing. Now you understand? Yeah? I hear a lot of people say, yeah, present moment awareness. Highest in life. I must be with the moment. They talk only the word, but they cannot do because they don't understand what this is. Because they don't know that this is the only reality. And based on the Klang talk, you should read the book on emptiness. It complements this. Because this seminar paper is to introduce to you the topic and teach you how to begin. But as you go into it, you need deeper understanding. That's how the talk in Klang Emptiness, the purple book, you must read. That one got a lot of very important breakthrough for cultivator to realize the truth and to realize the awakening. Now I read on. I say, remember the Buddha always told the bhikkhu, be heedful and be vigilant, because if you are not heedful, then you are as if dead, following Dhammapada verse 21. That is, spiritually dead. Our mind and our thought move so fast with every moment of sense or consciousness. And if we are not mindful and heedful within the moment, then how can we cope with life? True or not? Yeah? Most of us may know that the moment is the only reality and very important. But the question is, are we mindful of the moment? Are you mindful? Can you be silent with the moment? I tell you, you are so heedless most of the time. Before you know this teaching, before you train yourself, you think a lot. You worry a lot. You react to every moment of sensation. That's why the mental hindrance keep on coming. The problem with the world today is, I said, most human beings are so heedless. And they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so they totally miss out on life, for they never really live life. They are never with the moment. See, she also laughs. For those who understand, they will know. They only existed through life. You know what is this, huh? You never live, no. You become like a zombie, you know. You existed through life. You are conscious of life, but you are not aware. You understand? When you wake up, you are conscious, right? You are conscious that you are alive. You are already a human being, wake up already. But most of the time you are thinking, heedless. You are never with the moment. Your thought precedes your action and speech and do all those funny things. Well, they only exist the true life, that is, they are conscious of life, but they are not mindfully living life. Their mind is always preoccupied with their thinking, their thought process. And the thought that arises always delude them to cling on to the phenomenal world as very real, because they don't have wisdom. The self-delusion causes them to grasp and cling. Then their thought will project into the future to arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, hence creating a false reality for them to cling on to. Likewise, the mind will also recall the hurtful and unhappy scars of memory of the past to remind them, will recall the hurtful and unhappy past to remind them of the scars of memories, hence triggering off sorrow and lamentation of the unhappy past again. Not able to see the phenomenal world's three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta, or impermanence, leading to suffering state and the non-self or empty nature, they will continue to be deluded, and they will continue to hold and cling on to this phenomenal world. And this is the cause of their suffering. As per the Buddha's final summary, in short, it is your self-delusion that conditions you to grasp onto the five aggregate of form and mind, the upadana khandas, the five grasping aggregate that I call suffering, the Buddha said. That's why this is the cause of all suffering and life's problem, self-delusion leading to craving. Why can't you just silence your mind in heedfulness to be with the moment, to experience all of the pristine beauties and wonders of life? Just like the Zen saying, drinking a cup of Chinese tea is Zazen or Zen meditation. Because within that moment, there is just pure awareness of the reality in the here and the now. And there is no thought, so no fear, no worry, no anxiety, or whatsoever. But just the silent mind in peace and stillness to live and experience all of the wonderful moments with clarity of mind and body, instead of worrying about life. True or not? Why do you need to worry about life? Because of fear, insecurity, right? Even if you worry, you are not going to solve your problem. It will instead create more thinking, leading to more fear and restlessness of mind. And as long as you are not mindful, this heedless thinking will continue to create more illusion and delusion in you, because you do not have the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. You don't have right view. You don't have wisdom at the moment of sense experience. That is precisely the reason why we need to train our mind to be heedful, so that it is constantly meditative and ever mindful to insight into truth which is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Truth, all the characteristics of nature, the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, are everywhere. Why can't you see? Yeah? For those who see, they always see. Even though the present moment is the highest in life, but in order to transcend life, which is to transcend birth and death, we need to transcend even the present moment to realize the timeless Dhamma, which is akaliko, which is beyond thought and beyond time. This is the ultimate goal of all Buddhist meditation. Now you understand? Yeah? Then we go on to the fourth topic. Understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. Now this part is very useful. To be successful in life management, we need to understand another very important aspect of life. That is the nature's law that governs life and existence according to the Buddha. This universe of ours is very unique. First, there is nature. Then there are Nietzsche's law that governs all of life and existence within this universe of ours. He calls it the Panchaniyamas, or five universal orders of nature. The first two Nietzsche's law, Uttu-niyama, or Nietzsche's physical law, and Bija-niyama, or Nietzsche's biological order, are scientific law, whereas the other three are spiritual laws. It was via understanding, clearly understanding these two scientific, the two great scientific laws, Uttu-niyama and Bija-niyama, that scientists are able to progress so fast within the field of science and technology to become so advanced nowadays. Nature's physical law governs the behavior of physical things, of all physical things. They are related to the law of physics and chemistry, etc., that the scientist has developed good understanding. Then Bija-niyama is nature's biological order that governs the behavior of all organic and biological things within the field of biology, genetic engineering, etc. Like our human body, the plant, the animal, the fish, etc., their behaviors are governed by this law. Then the other next three spiritual laws, namely Karma-niyama, law of karma, Citta-niyama, law of the mind, and Dhamma-niyama, law of truth, or law of Dhamma. So similarly, we are clearly understanding these other three great spiritual laws of karma, mind, and truth. The Buddha was able to excel himself in the spiritual field, to understand life so clearly and so completely, thus becoming the Sammasambuddha, or the fully enlightened one. It was through his perfection of understanding of these three great spiritual laws that enabled him to proclaim the Dhamma that he had given us. Take for example the first spiritual law of karma, Karma-niyama, as the first right view to understand life. In the five daily contemplation as taught by the Buddha said, we must contemplate daily the following. First, that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, to decay, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. Then the second contemplation is that this body of ours is of the nature to be sick and be diseased, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. Third contemplation, that this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. Then the fourth contemplation, all that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will change and vanish following nature's condition. Then the last one is the most important. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. The first four contemplations allow us to develop the contemplative wisdom to deal with most of the first noble truth realities of life and existence. Whereas the fifth contemplation deals with the first right view with regards to law of karma. So karma, which is moral causation, is most important because we are all born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and we are what we are because of it. If we have this right understanding as our first right view, then what must we do? What must you do? Take care of karma. Your karma is so important. We must take care of karma. How do we do it? We must train our mind to be ever mindful and heedful via meditation to enable us to see all our mental intention or chitana behind all of our actions, speech and thought process, thereby enabling us to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness or wholesomeness, to accumulate all the wholesome karma, and meditate to develop the requisite wisdom so as not to be deluded by the phenomenal world anymore. These are precisely the advice of the Buddha as stated in his famous Dhammapada, verse 183. You heard before, Sabba papasa karanam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyotapanam etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is all evil is to be avoided. Whatever wholesomeness or goodness, you must cultivate them. They purify your mind, and these are all the advice of the Buddhas. How do we avoid all evil? The Buddha recommends keeping the five precepts, minimum the five precepts. Because people who violate the precepts are evil people with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. How to cultivate goodness and blessing? The Buddha recommends cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right view, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, etc. So this was how the Buddha's subsequent teaching comes about. And through this understanding, one will be able to understand the secret of life, thus enabling one to truly live life meaningfully. Then there is also Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 that talks about happiness and suffering in life. This can be elaborated upon if time permits. You know what is Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, the twin verse. One lead to suffering, the other one lead to happiness, like the shadow that never leaves you. So the Buddha explained, he said, in both of the twin verses, he said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So you have to be careful. So he said, if we arise our mind, if we were to act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. Then the opposite twin verse, Dhammapada verse 2, he said, if we understand the danger of heedlessness, we must strive on with heedfulness and cultivate Dhammapada verse 2, so that we can act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. When you have non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion, you have wisdom. Then happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So life is pretty simple, isn't it? If you choose to be happy, avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Train your mind to be heedful. That is what meditation is all about. That is what the teaching is all about. Why are you waiting? So this understanding is very important. Then I read on. Then we have the two spiritual law of mind. Citta niyama. Second spiritual law of citta niyama, which is nature's law that governs the working of mind. Under this second spiritual law of nature, the Buddha taught us paticca samuppada, or the law of dependent origination, or the 12 link. The Buddha said everything that arises is all dependent originating, and there is no such thing as a permanent, unchanging entity or a soul, or an atta that is responsible for our thinking, seeing, hearing, etc. For in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, for there is no one to see. And all of phenomena within the physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, they are all conditioned arising and causal phenomena following nature's law. And because of that, they are all impermanent. For dependent on condition, they arise, and they will continue to exist if the supporting conditions are still there. But they will cease to be once any of the supporting conditions that supported their existence cease to be. And because they are impermanent, following nature's law, you cannot want things your way, otherwise suffering will be the end result. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that we can hold on to or cling on to as the I and the me. Hence, anatta, or non-self nature, of this so-called human being, or the five aggregate of form and mind of ours. If we cling and hold on to them, then it is self-delusion or sakkayaditti, a very serious self-delusion or wrong view. The third spiritual law is Dhamma Niyama, which are the essential Dhamma or truth that the Buddha taught. And the most important one, of course, is the Four Noble Truths, which is the essence of his teaching that we had already covered earlier on. Then we come to the fifth topic, meaning and purpose of life. Once we had understood the nature's law that governs life and existence, then we will know how to prepare ourselves to live life meaningfully. Without this understanding, we cannot contemplate its true meaning and purpose. To different people, life has different meaning and purpose. Hence, it varies from person to person. But as a Buddhist, we are indeed much more fortunate, because the Buddha was able to explain to us the secret of life via his enlightenment. The other reason being, they don't quite understand life like us, because they don't have the Four Noble Truths teaching. For somebody who is quite poor, the meaning and purpose of life is just to have the three meals of food and shelter over their head, following Maslow's need hierarchy. But for us Buddhists, we will go deeper into life to pursue the sole purpose of liberation from birth and death, or seeking enlightenment in the here and the now, so that all suffering can cease, leading to the noble life of a noble one, because we understand the danger of delusion and ignorance leading to heedlessness. Then two important aspects of life. There are two very important aspects of life. First, there is this mundane or materialistic aspect within the existential world or the conditioned world, followed by the supramundane or spiritual aspect of life that can be realized only after gaining enlightenment. Most people are only concerned with the mundane aspect of life because to them this is more important, not knowing that without the spiritual understanding, life is still incomplete, and suffering can still arise despite our materialistic wealth and success. This was clearly explained by the Buddha in his proclamation of the First Noble Truth, where he talked about the eight universal realities of life and existence that can lead to suffering and misery if one were to confront them without the requisite wisdom. This was also precisely the reason why the Buddha to be then left the palace in search for the truth to liberate himself from the three signs of old age, sickness, and death that he saw prior to his renunciation then. Materialistic success within the mundane world normally refers to what other thing you term as success in life? What other thing? First one is what? Financial freedom, you sure think of that. Then career success. Of course, when you are young, you are born into a good family, you are considered blessed, lucky because you're good karma. Then as you grow up, you go to school. Then academic excellence or success when you are young is something that you can realize and achieve. That's why you can do that. It's considered a big step because that will take you to the next phase of life. Then after that, you come out to work, true or not? So career success, when you come out to work, is important, isn't it? So that you can realize your ideal in life. You can reach the pinnacle of your career. Then after that, of course, career success is related to financial success or financial freedom. To make us feel secure in life, to enable us to provide for our family, our loved one, and to allow us to have the means to live a good life, to do what we want in life. True or not? Do you want all this or not? If you can have them, it's very good. Then, of course, the fourth one is what? You can have the means retire early to do the thing you want to do or like to do in life. You want that or not? See, everybody look forward to. Then the fifth one is what? Very difficult to achieve one, this one. Having an understanding, good and happy family unit leading to success in relationship. Most people can actually achieve all the other materialistic success, but they feel miserably when they come to family relationship. Relationship with their children, their spouse, their loved one, I tell you. Because they neglect their family. They spend too much time working towards financial freedom, success, and their status. Especially politicians. Not all, but most of them. Then I continue. The first four types of success can be realized by most people who are determined and hardworking. But the fifth one is more difficult to achieve because it needs some form of wisdom and understanding, yeah? The relationship part. Let us say you are able to achieve all of the above five materialistic success. But is your life really complete? And are you really happy and safe? Let's say you can realize all those things. What happens when you confront OA sickness and death? Yeah? Relationship failure. Yeah? Separation due to nature's disaster or whatever. Or health problem and all those things. You are still vulnerable. You are still subject to suffering when you don't have this Dhamma or wisdom. You still cannot confront them. So let us say you are able to achieve all the above materialistic success. But is your life really complete? And are you really happy and safe? What happens when you confront the First Noble Truth realities of life and existence as proclaimed by the Buddha? When you confront them without the requisite wisdom, you will be afflicted. And suffering will be the result, as explained by the Buddha earlier on. Hence, no one can liberate the mind without penetrating this Dhamma. Hence, one still needs to cultivate the requisite spiritual understanding or wisdom to complement one's life. Otherwise, this First Noble Truth reality can still afflict you. So this is the reason why you must develop the wisdom. The advice of the Buddha got three aspects. And why all you do good will bring about good karma, good blessing. But wealth, good blessing, good karma is not complete without spiritual understanding or wisdom. Because despite your wealth, your materialistic success, everything that you have, you are still vulnerable. You still have to grow old, get sick, and one day die. You still have loved ones that you attach to, cling on to. Can you be at peace when they separate from you? When something happened to them, like kidnap and all those things, critical disease. So when they have problems, life-related problem, what will happen? Can you still be at peace? Can you still have the understanding to cope with life? And these are the questions that you must inquire deep. You must develop clear understanding. Otherwise, you feel miserably in life. Okay? Then in conclusion, this one is for your, just for your information, sharing. I conclude by sharing this with you. My present life in this world was indeed rather blessed, for I not only excel in my academic field, I also reached the pinnacle of my civil engineering career life. I was able to achieve my financial freedom fairly early, and this is also the reason why I was able to retire officially from my engineering career life. That time was 12 plus years ago. Now it's already 15 years ago. At the age of 46 plus. To do the thing that I love to do, like sharing the Dhamma and helping people. I was also blessed with a very good family unit and lots of love and understanding among ourselves. My relationship with all my loved ones, friends, colleagues are very cordial and good too. Last but not least, I was also blessed with a fairly good past that had enabled my nature to have the requisite spiritual understanding to complement my materialistic success in life. Over the last, now is maybe 27 years plus, since 1989, 27 years plus since 1989. I was able to make use of my spiritual understanding and my own personal success in life management to help many people who had affinity with this nature of mind to cope with their life problems. With this, I will end my today's seminar talk. Thank you so much for your patience and kind attention. So, How many of you have read this book? Not bad. You must go back and read again. Now you understand it better, I tell you. Because when you read through alone, you're sleepy. And you cannot get the point. But when I read it to you, because this was my message, then it goes in. Understand? And you will never understand how precious this teaching is until you really hear from the one who wrote it. Then only the meaning stand out. And this is very simple. And it can be summarized into such a thin booklet, like a kindergarten book. Understand? And yet all the essence are here. Everything that you need to know is here. Mundane and super mundane. But this is just a beginning, a guide to spur you, to give you faith, to motivate you, to encourage you. So after you have this understanding, it is up to you because it's your life. If you find that this is important, but to me, when I understand the importance of this teaching in the year 1971 when I was in Form 5, I never look back because to me it's very simple. It involved my entire life, my existence, not only this life, the entire existence, including all my future birth and death. Without this understanding, I come to this world to suffer for what? But with this understanding, this nature can be so different, so beautiful. And it can be a blessing to all. And it can really live life to the fullest. And life become wonderful, like Heart Sutta, Zhen Kong, Miao Yu. When you penetrate through emptiness, life become wonderful. So Dhamma is very beautiful. Learn to appreciate what the Buddha has given you and to cherish them deep in your heart so that you can actually make full use of it to realize your great potential as a human being. Then the moment you have it, you can be a great blessing to all of humanity. And this is what you can achieve, not difficult. Especially this era, this civilization, when the Buddha Sasana is still there. Okay? Now, you can ask questions. You got any question? Oh boy, your mother laughed. I think you got question, Oh, we still got 15 minutes. You are lucky we end earlier. Today I got more time, that I can slowly read through this to explain it. Earlier on, don't have so much time. Most of the time when I deliver this paper, they don't give me enough time. I don't know what happened. That day also because of the monk, they have to break for what they call their meals. So they tell me I have to end my talk early. So I had to rush through that day. So I summarized everything. Then I went to the conclusion straight away. But the seminar paper was delivered to them. So whatever it is, the condition then was such. We have to accept the reality. But luckily, there were little conditions when Kayamita suggested that this should be printed as a what they call in a booklet form for a wider audience. Then this nature realized that it is meant to be. That's why I say, go ahead. And there are people who have edited the thing and all those things. They improved on my English, which I felt very good after that. But there are still some colloquial language around, but already a much improved version compared to the first earlier version. So not too bad as a final product. Okay, it's your turn now while I have a drink. Any question? you can ask, raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. No question. Then what you want me to do? We just sit around. We go, pass the mic to at the back, behind Brother Kuz, the head. Pass to Padma Suri here.
Sugihotutu, Pratio, and Okayanamitas.
Yeah.
Pratio, I have a question here regarding the Heart Sutta. I read it somewhere that form is emptiness.
Yes.
Emptiness is form. Is referring to the middle path that Buddha has taught. But in the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, it was stated that it refers to sensual pleasure and
self-mortification.
Yes, self-mortification.
Sensual indulgence.
Sensual indulgence and self-mortification. How do we, if it is the...
I don't know who explained this to you. Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form is middle way. I never heard it before. Yeah, but it's okay because different people have different understanding. They explain it differently. So to me, it's not important. Unless they can bring out the Dhamma. Because the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when it comes to the middle path, is to avoid the two extremes. Understand? And that is what people interpret. The deeper meaning is no. The deeper meaning is beyond that. Later on, when you cultivate, it's not only avoid sensual indulgence and self-mortification. That is just the beginning of cultivation. Means in order to have a proper body to support you in your cultivation, you have to avoid the two extremes of mortifying yourself, understand? Self-mortification, means don't take care of your body. Because there's a very, very strong wrong view, delusion at that time in India. Because there were a lot of these, what they call yogi, who like to show off their endurance in the Himalayas mountain, stand on one leg in the snow, in the ice, and all those things, then wear only very little. So this is self-mortification. And they believe what? If you go through this type of suffering, finally you will end all suffering. And then you become enlightened. Got such thing or not? Torture yourself, mortify yourself until you become miserable so that you pay off all your karmic debt, your suffering. Then one day, no more karmic debt to pay, they say, they will become enlightened. If you believe such teaching, then you go and do. The Buddha, actually, for that 6 years, he did the self-mortification until he was near to death. His skin, everything was like almost dry up. You saw this skeleton thing in the monastery. He was left with like skin, back and bone. Then he realized not the way. Then he remembered when he was young, harvesting festival, he had a good meal. His mind was very calm. And he went into first jhana. Then he was very peaceful, very serene. Then he realized he has to eat. That's why he eat. Of course, sensual indulgence, when you indulge in the sensuous, your craving will become grasping, clinging. Then you cannot have a peaceful mind. Then you cannot develop the mind. That's why the two extremes has to be avoided. And this is the beginning of cultivation. He is talking about cultivation. But the real middle path is to transcend duality. You understand? No more right, no more wrong, no more good, no more bad, no more pleasant and unpleasant. But this duality are yin and yang created by the thought. Thought has this power to divide, like Krishnamurti said. Then when it brings about division, The mind that created the division wants to overcome the division. How can you do it? That's why the Buddha also explained, it must be sati, idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. Then it must be asati, idang arhoti. When this ceases, that also ceases. So why do you go and fight the duality? When this arises, means what? You create one aspect of duality, good. The moment you create good, what happens? Whatever that is not like that, the opposite will arise. True or not? Then wrong or bad. If this is right, not like that is wrong. Then like Shen Xiu, what he do? Polish until it shine, that mind. He thought that mundane mind is his true mind. So that no dust can alight. What is dust? Defilement. Who created defilement? The thought to discriminate and create defilement. Means what? He want wholesome state of mind. He doesn't want to have the negative tendency of mind. That's why he has to polish his mind until it shines so that no dust can alight. Keep on fighting. Keep on developing that ever mindful state. That is not the way to cultivate, understand? That's why Six Pages here, when he saw, when people read out the poem to him, he realized Shen Xiu was trapped in mind, in duality. Like the Buddha said, originally, Six Pages say, the true mind is empty. No concept, no word, no duality, no this, no that. So where can the dust alight? When you don't create dust, there is no dust, understand? It's just the silent mind, the true mind. So that's why he said, Pu Ti Peng Wu Su, means Bohi, wisdom, is not a tree. Then Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai, means what? The mind, the true mind, is neither the mirror's bright nor the stand, but that is the mundane mind reflecting. Then he said, this true mind, Pen Lai Wu Yu, originally, is empty, without words, without duality. That's why it's silent. Then where can the dust alight? It cannot hold, understand? This is the real wisdom, transcending duality. That's why the Buddha said, you don't create. The other side seems to be. This is mitapa. It has got nothing to do with form. It's emptiness. Emptiness is form. Understand? I don't know why this style of teaching come about. Like I say, we respect them for what they are. If they can bring out the Dhamma, well and good. But as far as I understand, the Heart Sutta, really form is emptiness, emptiness is form. It's not about duality. It's about the direct seeing. Kan san, si san. Kan san. That's why when you don't have the direct seeing, you will see with the mundane mind. Mundane seeing, form is real. True or not? But when you see with the direct seeing, then you realize these are images created into the mind. How do you know this form, external form, the Buddha Rupang? The painting, how do you know them? You cannot deny that there is no external form. There is. But who knows them? The mind that arises, the thought. Understand? And what is thought? Image. Mental image. And what is empty mental image? You can touch it or not. You can hold it or not. Split second is dead and gone. That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. There are two ways to understand them. One is they are conditioned arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. It's not real. That's why form is unreal, impermanent. And because it's impermanent, you cannot grasp, you cannot cling, you cannot hold. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. And when condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So how can you say form is real? That's why those who understand, the second inquiry is, how do you know that form? It's through your mental perception. It's just an image. How real can it be? Yeah? Externally, already condition arising, not so real. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be, like my voice. This one lasts longer, but you don't see. Externally, already condition arising, not so real. And how do you know this form? Through your mental perception, image. This is even more unreal, just an image, anasana. In the form of energy. Like you watch cinema show. The screen is white, but the light fall on it with the sound and the music, you see real. You can even be moved to tears. Anasana. So end of the day, you go and see the screen. What is it? Empty. They just light particle. Anasana. Then you perceive it. Then you hold it in your mind. And it's so real to you. You can become emotional. Affected by it. What you perceive here is exactly more or less like what you see in a cinema show. How real can it be? That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Then the other example that I give is, before that form occupied that space, it was empty. Isn't it? Then when the form come in, what happened? The form occupied that space. Understand not? That's why form and emptiness become one. Understand not? That's why form is emptiness. Emptiness is form because they take the same location, the same space in which they are put into. Originally, there was nothing. Then you bring it in there. That's why it was originally empty. So that form is emptiness. The emptiness is form. In the Klang talk, I show it to them very clearly. So when you understand, you can explain all this. And the Heart Sutta is not a mystical teaching. It is a direct teaching that can be understood by the cultivator of the mind. Those who cultivate this mind, they can understand. Where there are two minds. Mundane mind, conditioned arising mind, and the true mind. If you understand these two, you will know how to meditate. You will know how to silence. Then you realize there is no being inside that. When the mundane mind ceases, the true mind shines forth. Because it is not clouded by the mundane mind. There is nothing to cloud it, to stir it. Then the egoic mind cannot arise. Then that silence awakens. The mind realizes itself and ceases. Then you are out of the karmic stream. Karmic consciousness. No more rebirth consciousness. That's why they call enlightenment. Realization of Nibbana. Cessation of form and mind. Okay? It's a good question. At least clear the doubt because he read it somewhere. And nowadays, there are many versions. If you are not careful, you can be gullible. Because even in the internet, there are many, many versions. And many type of teaching around. That's why you need to have your own understanding. What I like about Krishnamurti is very good. He had a dialogue with the Buddhists. Today, I saw the last part. They keep on questioning him. Then there was one part. I have to finish this off. 10:30. Somebody told him. He said, truth was all the time there. He said, because Krishnamurti tried to explain to him. He asked this Buddhist monk and this cultivator. He said, what is the Buddhist teaching about meditation? They start off with the four foundations of mindfulness. So they tell Krishnamurti. Krishnamurti said, I just want to understand, make it very simple. What is this? What is this? Four foundations of mindfulness. Then Krishnamurti said, okay, I will guide you. Is it a system of meditation? Is it a method? Is it a technique? Wow, they panic already. They know. They say, no, just awareness. Okay, Krishnamurti said, awareness. Aware. Can you explain to me, what is it like to be aware? Who aware? And what is aware? They cannot answer him now. They said, got the four foundation. You do, then you become one. Yeah. Then he said, okay, make it simple. Let's say I walk into this room. What am I supposed to be aware of? Then they say, nobody to be aware. Again, they play with word. He said, enough of this word. Forget about the word. Then they cannot explain to him what is meditation, what is awareness. Actually, what he wants to hear is the silent mind. The moment you are silent without thought, you are aware. They cannot tell him. Then he has to explain to them. Then you know what he told them finally, is it? He said, without this silence, without this ability to be completely silent and aware, truth cannot be realized. Then this Buddhist monk tried to be smart now. He said, truth was all the while there, is it? He tried to put it in another way for Krishnamurti. It's whether we can realize it or not, or whether we can be aware of it or not. You know what Krishnamurti answered him? I don't know. You heard about it or what? He said, I don't know. He trying to guide him to meditate, to understand. No? He even hinted to him, the problem with meditation is the meditator. Wow, he straight away panic. Oh, that monk, he said, there's no meditator. Yeah, he know Krishnamurti said, no meditator. Krishnamurti stopped him and said, please, wait, listen. You are not listening, he said. The problem with meditation is the meditator. Means what? You're supposed to forget about what people tell you, all the teaching, everything. That's why he said, just like Christianity, he said, there's a Father up in heaven. Then Jesus is the Son of God. He said, I don't know. I don't want to know. I assume I don't know. Then I start from fresh, he said. I inquire. If like what he said, the problem in meditation is the meditator. Why can't you silence your mind and find out who is the meditator? And then you penetrate, etc. But they cannot understand it. They want to win the argument. No. They keep on arguing with him. No. Oh. Then he said, truth was already there and all those things. No. He said, I don't know. That's why no point talking to him. He cannot understand. Then finally he said, on behalf of everybody, you like to thank Krishnamurti. He said, no need. He just walked away. That's why when you talk to people who have that understanding, they are very different. And he was trying his very best to actually explain or guide them along. To understand what this. He said, can you for a minute please forget about your religion, your teaching, what people have told you and all those things. But as long as you hold that, that is your content of consciousness. Understand or not? That is your knowledge. You cannot see truth already. Truth is beyond thought, beyond time, beyond all these things. Then he even tried to like explain to them like what the Buddha said. Because he explained to them, he said, this silence or this awareness, the intensity of it, you must realize it. You cannot learn and cultivate. That's why he keep on asking them, your four foundation of mindfulness, you need to cultivate one or not. Your mindfulness, you need to cultivate or not. Your awareness, you need to... They cannot answer him. No. They said, there is this four foundation of mindfulness you have to do. Actually, what the Buddha said is exactly what Krishnamurti said. Because Krishnamurti said, like this food, If you eat for me, I cannot feel the food. No, I cannot. I have to eat it myself. No, and yet he cannot understand. No, he said, no. People offer me food. It's not my food. I eat. Of course, you have to eat. Understand? No? But like the Buddha say, I can only show you the way. You remember? You have to walk the path yourself. And that is exactly what Krishnamurti is saying. This awareness is not something that you have to cultivate and learn. The moment you are without content of consciousness, you empty your mind through wisdom, through understanding, that all these are your egoic mind that create and stir and give rise to this knowledge. And from this knowledge, you try to look for enlightenment, which is beyond time, beyond thought, beyond words. You can never realize. He said, the moment you do that, you hold on to anything. That's why the Buddha also said, knowledge bind. You remember the seven stages of purification? Purification of morality, sila, visuddhi. Then purification of consciousness, citta, visuddhi. Then ditti, visuddhi, views. Your knowledge, your views, your opinion. You have to actually relinquish all, silent. Then from that silent, everything can be understood. Okay? We better end. Sada. Okay. We chant the Pali. Save some time. Sharing our merits with the devas. Aka sata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Queen Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Let's express our gratitude and respect to Brother Kim and his view for coming to expound the profound Dharma by saying sadhu three times.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Brother
Silun.
For thanking Brother Kim by saying sadhu three times.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
To Brother Sri An and Sister Nihon for inviting us to their beautiful homes to listen to the Dhamma.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thursday, and then we come back on July 15th.
I'll be traveling again. We have my son's convocation in Seattle University. Then I will go from Paris to London before I come back. Okay.